Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Every Republican who's gone on TV the last 12 hours or so has called this the Schumer shutdown. What do you say about that name? Senator Schumer, can you hear me?
I can't hear.
Senator Schumer, can you hear me? I don't think Senator Schumer can hear me right now. Maybe the government shutdown included audio on Capitol Hill.
Ah, a little joke there from John Berman on CNN. They do some things that are funny every once in a while. Dwayne Patterson is here from the Dwayne's World podcast and also a contributor to HotAir.com. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great. As this whole thing is developing, I've been actually kind of working as I were producing a radio show. I've been actually working on my column for Hot Air for tomorrow, and it's you remember the old 1956 movie, The Ten Commandments, the Cecil DeMille one, Pharaoh and Moses.
I may have seen that 45 years ago. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm a traditionalist. I watch it every year around Easter because it's on. I don't know. It's tradition. Anyway.
Sure.
You remember when Pharaoh let the Hebrews go and they're off in the wilderness and he's sitting in his throne next to Queen Nefertiti, his wife, and she says, "Do you hear laughter, Pharaoh?" In mocking and derision because of the decisions he's making and the course he's taking. She's bitter because they just lost their son. All this, do you hear laughter, Pharaoh? That's what we're hearing in D.C. with Chuck Schumer. Because whether it's what you just played, which I'm going to include in my piece tomorrow, because it's a very funny, but even CNN is mocking Chuck Schumer because he's doing the Seinfeld shutdown. It's a shutdown about nothing. I mean, you really can't point to what he's doing other than he thinks if he can out AOC, that New Yorkers will like him in the primary next year. I got a newsflash for him. He's going to lose anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if
he gets nothing out of it.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's kind of break down what they claim that this is about, because what they claim that this is about is the Obamacare subsidies, which really have nothing to do with the CR that expire at the end of this year. Speaker Johnson's point is you're talking about a policy point that we will deal with in December. This is something different. Chuck Schumer voted for this very same spending level in March. Now, he was heavily criticized by Nancy Pelosi and others because he did not extract anything from the other side. But what reasonable, legitimate path to use whatever leverage they really don't have could come into play here to end the shutdown from the Democrats' perspective? I don't see how they get out of this without caving.
Well, and they're going to cave. I mean, that's the thing. Whenever there's been a shutdown or a filibuster or any kind of blockage, enough pressure builds up that blockage almost inevitably caves, and it serves to just be a delay. And that's all that happens, right? I mean, eventually the system ends up righting itself, and you don't have a government shutdown for 5 years on end. It just doesn't happen. It goes for a while, and eventually the side doing the blocking, they lose enough support where it falls apart, right? I mean, that's what happens. Here's what happened in this one. They weren't even in lockstep on the first vote to bring in the shutdown. Chuck Schumer had 45 members of his of his, or actually, what is it? 47 members of his conference, and he lost three on the first vote. He lost Angus King, an independent, but has always conferenced with Democrats. He lost Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada, and he lost John Fetterman. He knew he was going to lose Fetterman because Fetterman doesn't want any part of this.
Right.
It's dumb, and he recognizes it's dumb. So he lost three on the first day. Then you get to the vote a little bit earlier this afternoon. I don't know if you were even on the air yet when this happened. We were just going on the air when this vote took place to try to do it again. John Thune, the majority leader of the Republicans, is going to call this vote every day, with the exception of Yom Kippur, which is tomorrow and early Friday. He's going to call this vote up every day and force the Democrats to walk the plank until he can see we're going to peel off one this day. We may peel off two more the next day. But eventually they will peel them off because you can't defend this. It's indefensible. Well, it's dumb.
So that was, I think, about an hour before I took the air. But you posted something, and you shared this with me on the X, formerly Twitter, Dwayne, where you kind of circled the huddle that was on the Senate floor that looked like, you know, they were negotiating on some things. And you had a little bit of a handicapping of that particular photo, didn't
you? Yeah, see, that's grand because John Cornyn, the number two in the Republicans in the Senate, crossed over while they're holding the vote. You know, it's an open vote, takes 15, 20, 25 minutes to do. And he's talking to everybody in the chamber, and he huddles with Mike Rounds, another Republican of North Dakota. And there is not one, not two, but a gang of eight Democrats that are all in a huddle without Chuck Schumer anywhere nearby. And they're talking about, okay, how do we get out from under this? And Cornyn is basically given the Godfather routine, right? Cornyn is saying, here's our offer. You get nothing. You're either going to cave, or this is just going to get worse for you because you're now going to be responsible for all these permanent federal layoffs, firings, which you can't do anything about because there's no existing law anymore because you shut the government down. So Russ voted OMB, and Donald Trump can fire 300,000 federal employees if he wants legally, and there's no recourse for it. And it's on you. Good
so,
luck.
Yeah,
that's what you want.
And it's interesting, you point out that, look, there's a lot of people in the MAGA side of the equation, they don't like John Cornyn very much. And he's actually playing a pretty important role here.
Look what he could potentially be doing here. If he brings this to a conclusion and gets seven or eight Democrats to cave and shorten the length of this shutdown so that our military gets paid, look what that's going to do to the political left. What do you think the fever swamp on MSNBC is going to
do? They'll go nuts. Yeah, they'll go nuts.
If John Cornyn gets eight Democrats to cave, they're going to go bonkers.
But also, they will. They'll go crazy. But what your point was also this, and I think this is interesting. What does this do to a guy that thinks he's helping himself politically? Because that's a big L on the forehead for Chuck Schumer if that goes
way. It ends his career. I honestly don't know how he remains the Democratic leader until his term ends at the end of next year. Oh, I'm sure he's going to run again, and I'm sure he wants to be leader. But honestly, is anybody going to follow his advice? And if he twists your arm, is it really going to be that hard of a grip when he twists your arm from now on out if he can't hold this group together?
So you think
so? I don't think so.
Well, I don't think so either. But your opinion at this point is you have John Cornyn and other leaders. The Republicans are going to make it very clear to the moderate Democrats that, look, this is what we're doing, and it's either our way or the highway this time. And then, of course, they got to do it all again at the end of the year. Do you think we'll ever have a conversation, Dwayne, you and I, or anybody else, about an appropriations bill instead of a CR?
Oh, absolutely. Look at what the House has already done. I mean, the reason this is a 9-week CR or a 7-week CR or whatever they're trying to do is just because the Democrats have slow-walked everything else that they're behind schedule. But they have actually done this. The House has already passed, what is it, four or five different of the 12 appropriations bills, and there's about four or five more that are like within a week of being done and passed. The Senate has already done a three appropriations bill for this year, defense, the executive branch, and agriculture. They lumped into one overall Senate bill, and they passed that already. So for the first time in years, they've actually done some of the work on the appropriations bills, and that's the regular order that where you would have this debate about whether we're going to fund illegals or extend or enhance Obamacare subsidies. You do that during the appropriations process, and that's what the Democrats don't want to do because they don't control the committees. So they're picking this fight now as a political stunt, and it's not going to work. It's not the time to do it. John Cornyn said on our show earlier this afternoon, on Hugh's show earlier this afternoon, what I told them, and he made my day by saying, oh, yeah, I saw your tweet. Absolutely, I saw your tweet, which I thought that was just grand. He knows who I am. I'm a producer. Nobody knows me. But he says, what I told them is you may want to negotiate, but there is no negotiation. We're not going to talk. We're not going to even give you ground on anything until you shut the shutdown down. Until you end this nonsense, there's nothing to discuss. We're going to win. You're going to lose. It's just a matter of time. How bad do you want it to hurt?
Yeah, but how
that's
they
what John Cornyn said.
I love that, and I hope that that's the way it goes. But Schumer's going to have to try to save face somehow. I don't know how you do it.
The only thing that Schumer did that I thought was an overture, if this is a two-act play and you've already had the intermission, you know that entre-arc music that kind of leads you back into Act Two, that was Chuck Schumer leaving the Oval Office yesterday afternoon when he spoke to the press on the White House lawn, and he said, well, for the first time in a long time, we feel like the president actually listened to us, and we think that's a big step. That's a big victory that for the first time, we think that the president has heard our concerns. And so I'm hearing that going, okay, so you're going to define victory however narrowly you can, but that sounded to me like the kind of rhetoric of somebody that's getting prepared to cave.
What did you think about this whole episode? Because obviously they were very offended at CNN and MSNBC by this AI-generated Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries with a sombrero.
There's no way to sugarcoat it. Nobody likes Democrats anymore. We have no voters left because of all of our woke trans bullshit. Not even black people want to vote for us anymore. Even Latinos hate us. So we need new voters. And if we give all these illegal aliens free health care, we might be able to get them on our side so they can vote for us. They can't even speak English, so they won't realize we're just a bunch of woke pieces of shit, you know? At least for a while, until they learn English and they realize they hate us too.
That's so good. I'm sorry. People have way too much time on their hands out there with the interwebs. But that was glorious. It really was. It's racist, though. It's racist, Dwayne. Don't forget that. Because of the sombrero, it's racism. I'm not sure how, but it is.
See, here's the fun part about this, and you're helping me write my column, actually. Remember, the overall theme is, do you hear laughter, Pharaoh? So at the White House press briefing today, Vice President J.D. Vance shows up and starts to brief the media alongside Carolyn Leavitt. And J.D. Vance is just so gosh darn smooth and articulate in how to do this. And he is taking the media on one right after another, portraying this rightly as Schumer shut down, using facts, reason, very succinct, doing his thing. And then a reporter says, yeah, but what about these videos? What about, don't you think that's not very presidential? And don't you think that's not helping?
Okay, hang on. Let me play the audio because I have that queued up here. Here we go.
You've said that you're interested in good faith negotiations with these leaders, but what message does that send? Is it helpful to post pictures of leader Jeffries in a sombrero if you're trying to have good faith talks with him?
Oh, I think it's funny. The president's joking and we're having a good time. You can negotiate in good faith while also poking a little bit of fun at some of the absurdities of the Democrats' positions and even, poking some fun at the absurdity of the Democrats themselves. I mean, I'll tell Hakeem Jeffries right now, I make this solemn promise to you that if you help us reopen the government, the sombrero memes will stop. And I've talked to the president of the United States about that. Now,
Mark Reardon, when is the last time?
I love it.
When is the last time that you heard a White House press corps laughing with a Republican vice president?
Not very often. You don't hear it. Yes,
Who are they laughing at?
Yeah, they're laughing at Chuck Schumer, I believe. And Hakeem Jeffries in the claim. Look, let me play the other answer, because the other answer is good, too. Is it racist?
Hakeem Jeffries said it was racist, and I know that he said that, and I honestly don't even know what that means. Like, is he a Mexican-American that is offended by having a sombrero meme? I mean, I saw one of the major TV stations put the meme up and then say, this is AI-generated, and he had, like, the curly animated mustache too. It's like, do you really not realize the American people recognize that he did not actually come to the White House wearing a sombrero and a black curly animation mustache? Like, give the country a little bit of credit. We're all trying to do a very important job for the American people. The President of the United States likes to have a little bit of fun when he's doing it, and I think that's okay.
So piggybacking off of that, think about this for a little bit, because I think that what J.D. Vance accomplished in that room is a great representation of the authenticity and the connection that he and Trump have with the American people. Because who amongst the Democrats, outside of Fetterman, all right, is there one Democrat that can shoot the you-know-what with reporters in the room, sound natural doing it, not pulling from sound bites, being authentic, keeping it real, calling balls and strikes? Who is that Democrat that can do that? Now, there's a couple of talented people out there like Andy Beshear in Kentucky and Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania. But the way that he is so comfortable in that setting and never has to stumble over his words like the word salad we experienced for 4 years, it's really impressive.
There's only a handful. You can maybe name people like Josh Shapiro out of Pennsylvania. He's pretty good dealing with media. I would say Jared Golden, a little bit out of Colorado, can be like that. Gavin Newsom can't. He thinks he can. He thinks he can, you know, get down and have fun and be real with people.
But Rahm Emanuel can, I would say.
Rahm Emanuel can. He will fight you when he's serious and he wants to hit you on policy. He'll certainly get in the gutter and do a street fight with you. But when he knows his side is being stupid, he realizes the long-term impact is you have more gain long-term by admitting you're stupid now than try to defend the indefensible.
Yeah, he's on the complete other side of most of where the Democrat Party is right now. Dwayne Patterson from HotAir.com and also the Dwayne's World podcast with us. All right, so one more topic here on, and this was just golden audio for people like you and I working on radio shows, but Pete Hegseth's speech before the generals yesterday, that was quite something. And of course, CNN couldn't help themselves. They had to go all over the respect issue and, you know, what did the brass really think about this? This is an embarrassment. He called it like he sees it and how most of the country sees it, and there's blowback from the legacy media.
Absolutely. It actually, between what Hegseth said and what Trump said to the generals, in front of that huge flag on stage, it actually was kind of Patton-esque. It actually kind of was. If you go back and you kind of end up where we started, going back to an old movie reference, the old George C. Scott movie of Patton when he's on stage, here's the thing about what makes Trump work and what makes Hegseth work and why the Democrats are so frazzled is because the country loves a winner more than they like people that are right. And so far, Trump's winning, and people like it when you're winning. It's a different mentality. What Hegseth is doing is, look, we don't want a fair fight. We don't want a military where we have to make it equal and fair so that if somebody we go up against, well, at least we're making the opportunities available by lowering the standards for women and other groups that that want to participate as well. We're going to lower our standards. No, the heck with that. What we're going to do is we are going to maintain a force with such overwhelming capacity and lethality that anybody that dares threaten us is going to face consequences they can't even imagine.
Right, exactly. Hey, by the way, isn't there a little risk for the Democrats to complain about the physical fitness standards and the difference between men and women? Won't they have to admit that there are differences between the sexes if they criticize that part of the plan?
You think?
Yes.
I mean, that was also not very foresighted in how they're fighting that, right?
Nope, but that's typical. Dwayne Patterson, he writes at HotAir.com. Look for the new column tomorrow. Also, the Dwayne's World podcast. You have a great week.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we'll see you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So if you're ever watching on the video stream or the X formerly Twitter, you will see me sitting here at the console with my iPad. I don't think you can see what's on my iPad. You can if I do that. But oftentimes I'm very active on the show. I'm not, sending people. Well, sometimes I'm sending text messages to my family. But oftentimes I'm looking for the latest story and the latest audio. And that brings us to this. So I'm going to tell you, and this doesn't happen very often. I have not heard what I'm about to play to you. But I saw it on Twitter. I sent it to Ethan, and he pulled it. So this is Maxine Waters, who I think is approximately 130 years old at this point, congresswoman from California, being asked some questions about the Schumer shutdown.
Do Democrats want to prioritize the health care of illegal aliens over a government shutdown? Because if the government does shut down, American...
Excuse me, stop it right there. We're not prioritizing. What we're doing is saying simply we want to keep the government open and we want to work with the Republicans and have a bipartisan agreement to keep this government open, and health care is at the top of our agenda.
But aren't Democrats demanding health care for illegal aliens?
Democrats are demanding health care for everybody.
There you go. At least she's honest.
We want to save lives. We want to make sure that health care is available to those who would die but having the help of their government.
So you're good with the government shutdown, even if it means giving health care to people who aren't American citizens?
Well, that's what you're pushing on. What you're trying to do is you're standing here and you're trying to make me say that somehow we're going to put non-citizens over Americans. Quit it. Stop it. This is the kind of journalism we don't need.
No, I'm just
asking divisive. No, you're not.
Yeah, no,
you're being divisive. No, please. Don't. You don't need to ask that question. You're just trying to get controversy here. You're not going to get it from me. We want to save health care for all people. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Appreciate it.
Okay, well, I think that we know what the answer was there. Now, Caitlin Collins, who is a more professional journalist, I think she would tell you, than the last woman that you heard. I'm not sure who that was. But she had sort of the same conversation on CNN with Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, but just a little different tone.
Well, as you know, people who are here in the United States legally have never been eligible for the Obamacare subsidies, for Medicare, for Medicaid. So what exactly are you saying that they're trying to do when you talk about giving free health care to
them?
I'm
so glad you asked. Okay, so when we passed the One Big Beautiful Bill, the Working Families Tax Cut, we had Medicaid reforms in the bill. You and I talked about it on the air. What we did was to eliminate fraud, waste, and abuse. There were a lot of people on the program who were enrolled in the program who were never eligible to be there. Medicaid is intended for eligible U.S. citizens, not illegal aliens, not also U.S. citizens who are able-bodied workers, like young men. So we passed the law. The president signed it into law. Democrats voted against it, of course. And it's been wildly successful. The CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, which is the neutral arbiter of all these things, released a report a few weeks ago, earlier this month. And they said, you know what? The bill has had its intended purpose.
All right, but she wants to drag it back to this issue of illegals. So she goes down this route.
Premiums are coming down. Listen, because 2.3 million ineligible enrollees have been kicked off of Medicaid, which helps to save the program, prop it up. And $185 billion has been saved already.
So basically, what you did was narrow the eligibility for certain people to get access to the ACA subsidies. What they want to do is undo the changes that Republicans made in that. But basically, wouldn't that only affect people who do have legal status, people who are refugee seekers here in the United States, asylum seekers here?
Those are two totally different issues. Now, they've created this as a new argument that they have as to why they should not keep the government open, but they're arguing a December policy debate For a September funding issue. The subsidies that you're talking about don't expire until the end of December.
Yeah, so let's explain that a little bit. This is where they're conflating, and this is what Caitlin Collins was trying to do, and the Democrats are helping her do that. Those are two different issues, but they want to wind them into this issue. So the CR has nothing to do with those subsidies. It was actually ARPA where these were extended. It was done in the aftermath of COVID. They cut the price of what was being charged on the market, and now when they expire, the price goes back up to where it was, which, by the way, is still very reasonable. And there's even a story in the Wall Street Journal about how a lot of the folks, I don't think Mike Johnson's made this point, maybe he has, that are, you know, certainly eligible for their employer plans are not doing them because they can find it cheaper on the Obama marketplace. But that's an issue for December when all this stuff expires. They want to make this part of the argument right now. It doesn't seem to be working.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sue Thomas with us, of course, doing traffic. And Sue, you noticed something on the legendary Kenny Wallace's Twitter page, I think, that caught your attention, didn't it?
Yeah, and I saw him on there making an announcement about the dirt track event that goes on at the Dome. And I thought, oh, no. So I brought it to your attention.
So what's the scoop, Kenny Wallace? What are you retiring? Or are you just not doing this race? Is there some news here that we have to break? Is it because you're too old and incapable? What is it? I just want to know the truth.
Well, okay. So, you know, I had a really good year, won a lot of races, and wrapping up some championships that we'll talk about later because, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself. We're still doing a little bit of racing. But, you know, as I get older, everybody around me gets older. So it's like, hey, you want to go to the racetracks with me? Oh, my wife and this and my kids. And so you tend to lose all your help. And yeah. I, you know, it's just the way it is. And there's these memes out there on Instagram. It's like, as you get older, your circle gets smaller because nobody wants to do anything. I'm still digging hard, but I am getting tireder. So I'm going to start like a baby. I'm going to wean myself off this racing a little bit. And the dirt inside the Dome in like early December is, I mean, a really great event. And they put on a hell of a show. And I made a little announcement. Everybody expects me to be there, guys.
Right, right.
Everywhere I go, see it's Dome. And I just said, hey, I'm getting too old. That event is too hard on me. I'm sorry to disappoint y'all. There'll be 30,000 people there. And, so I just announced that, hey, listen, I'm going on a cruise with my wife. My Dome, racing of the Dome, those days are over.
Okay.
It's
understandable,
though.
I'm
not quitting racing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. You're just kind of facing some of the realities as you do get a little older into this sport, so you're not giving it all. Because you're going to, I mean, I can't see you just giving that up cold turkey. You'd miss it so much, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I couldn't say anything any better. Yeah, so we stay closer around home, and if I travel, I usually drive somebody else's car.
Oh, really? Just because of the...
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot easier that way. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, that makes sense.
The kid that builds my race cars, Nick Hoffman, he was from Belleville, Illinois. His family kind of followed us to Charlotte. Well, they're still down there. When Nick builds my race cars, and he builds hundreds of race cars, so we're good friends. So in February, I'll fly down there. And he'll field a car for me. Of course, I pay him for it,
mm-hmm.
but it's way better on this old man.
Awesome. Well, we, you know, Sue brought it to my attention. I knew you were out there. Well, you're always out there on the, you know, the Instagram and on Twitter making announcements and doing Coffee with Kenny and all that stuff. We just thought we'd check in on you and see how things were going overall because we had not touched base with you in a few weeks. So that that's some interesting news. Not completely sad news, but just the reality of where you are professionally.
Yeah. Hey, I want to let you know something on another note. You know, we're all, you guys are coming up in 25 years pretty soon.
Yeah.
And, I got a couple little congratulations to you guys. You'll hear them later on. But, it said, fill in something right here. And I said, I tune in to 97.1 to listen to Mark Rudin and Sue's News. So, Sue, that's for you.
Oh, well, thanks, Kenny.
Hey, Sue gets, believe me, when we have, and you would know this, Kenny, but we have public events and we have listeners out. And even if I just meet people, you know, at a random event, they're always bringing up Sue and Sue's News. So we love that segment. We love having Sue on the show. There's no doubt about it. And the reality of it, I've told this to people before, is I'll just spell it out here. When this switch took place, you know, 5 years ago, whenever the hell it was, Sue, you kind of were let out of the communication loop a little bit. It was like, okay, Glover's going to Camel Wax, Reardon's going to 97.1, and Sue Thomas is like, hey, wait, what about me?
Hello.
You know, and so I don't know that that was handled as well as it should be, but you might remember this, like the second day I dragged you into the studio and said, hey, you are a very important part of my plans with this show. Yes. And I think we've done pretty well ever since.
Yes,
haven't we?
I think we have. So yeah. Thank you for that.
But that's, you know, that's a tough thing, Kenny, because as you know, look, chemistry, you can't just, you know, have chemistry instantaneously. And for whatever reason with Sue and I, we had that, which is good. You just can't make it up. You can't force it. But we're very fortunate that we had that. So we love your support and we know that you're a fan. So we appreciate that.
I told Steve Moore, you know, basically your guys' boss, I guess, over there at KMOX when he moved you, I'd shoot his ass up and down.
I know.
You idiot. I said, you idiot, what are you doing? He goes, believe me, it'll work. And it did.
Good job, Steve. It did work. And, you know, Kenny, I got to tell you something else. I don't think I've told you this, but when I was, you know, sort of in the middle of this mental health crisis, you were one of the people that I called. I know I mentioned that before. But one of the things that Kenny said to me, and I don't believe it, but I kept telling myself this because Kenny told me, he's like, Mark, you got to get back on the saddle. You're a badass. So whenever I was feeling down, I'm like, Kenny Wallace says I'm a badass. I'm just going to kind of latch onto that a little bit. I don't know if I believe it still, but I appreciate the support. I really
do. But it helps.
Does help. It does help. And you were awesome. So what do you say about our Cardinals and the way that this all is wrapping up? You got to have some. We didn't get our game in this year. This might be the first year in several we haven't done a game.
Yeah, well, you know, we love the Cardinals. We don't give up on them. But it was a tough, you know, here's my synopsis of the Cardinals. The best thing I've heard in years was the new general manager came out, a couple days ago, and he said, we hear you, fans. The message has been delivered. We expect to be a World Series team. And, you know, and I'm like, okay, that was it. I haven't heard that in a couple years. So, you know, my gosh, we lacked, a million less this year in the grandstands?
Yeah, more than that. I mean, it's just devastating. We're used to seeing that place so packed, and we started looking like Pittsburgh. I mean, I remember the season. Look, Milwaukee's an amazing success story, and I can certainly root for them in the postseason, despite them being a division rival. But, man, dude, when I first moved up to Milwaukee and Milwaukee County Stadium was there and they were still in the American League, they were like, you know, even when they went to Miller Park, you go to, you know, April, May, even parts of June, there were like, you know, 300 people in the place. And it's kind of an ugly look. We've seen it in Pittsburgh and in Cincinnati, and you're not used to seeing it here in St. Louis. So hopefully we can latch on to at least one free agent over the offseason and give us some hope. But, Kenny, always great to catch up with you. I hope all is well. Are you traveling anytime soon outside of the cruise?
Gonna head to Charlotte, North Carolina Saturday because Sunday morning we do Trackside Live. I do about 11 of those pre-race shows just live in person. And they're, you know, I call myself the new Walmart greeter. I'm retired, but I'm still hustling.
You're a great Walmart greeter. Have a great week and a great weekend. We'll talk soon.
Okay,
all right,
bye,
take
gang.
Care. Well, I still have a fair amount of audio that I want to share this afternoon. I don't know if I'm going to put this in the audio cut of the day category, but I haven't talked about this story very much, and it deserves attention out of Des Moines, Iowa. So some of you might be aware that the superintendent, this is the largest school district in Iowa, in Des Moines, And this guy, Ian Roberts, who was picked up by ICE last week, was detained because he was living and working in the U.S. illegally. Now, yesterday, he resigned. It's been very interesting, the dance that the school board, and there's interesting dynamics there because the school board president, a woman you're going to hear from here in a second, is former spokesperson for Michelle Obama. She's running for the Senate in Des Moines, or I'm sorry, in Iowa. But they've got bigger problems now because even at, let's say, I'm going to play you some of this stuff here, and they didn't fire him right away. They should have, you know, knowing what we now know. And this is outside, I'm going to make this very clear, outside of the immigration issues, there were other issues. But they didn't want to really do anything about it until he finally resigned yesterday and said, okay, we're not going to continue with this because more information was coming out that did not make him look good. So his attorney calls the school board and says, okay, we're out.
Friday morning, everything changed for all of us, including Dr. Roberts. The individual who was leading our district with energy and enthusiasm was detained by ICE agents. Since that time, this district, the Iowa Department of Education, the Department of Homeland Security, and others have learned that his citizenship and status and eligibility to work in the United States is not what we were led to believe. We gave Dr. Roberts an opportunity through his attorney to provide any information that would substantiate his claims by answering a set of questions regarding citizenship. He did not provide the board with the information we requested. Instead, he submitted a letter of resignation through his attorney.
Okay, but it gets better than that. And this is where, you know, you had an elementary school stage a walkout on Monday because this guy was picked up by ICE. You had all the progressive teachers worked up into a frenzy. But a couple things happened along the way. First of all, they realized that there's a little bit more to it. The guy, you know, had a weapon on him, $3,000 in cash. He left a car in the woods and he tried to run away from ICE. And then there's this little nugget here. So you can take everything else out of the equation. Take everything about him not being here legally, about having the gun, about having the cash, about lying. Take all that out of the equation here. And let's say that maybe one of you listening right now is a school administrator or a principal, a superintendent. You have to usually provide your education background. And if you're a professor, you usually have a PhD. If you're a superintendent of schools, you have a PhD. This guy did not have a PhD. So they go to Morgan State University. He claims that he got it in 2007. Even the Associated Press was forced to do some actual journalism here. They get it through a public records request. He's enrolled in the doctorate program from 2002 to 2007, but he did not receive the degree. It declined to say which degree requirements that he had not met. But this is where it gets even better than better. The school board learned before even hiring this guy that he didn't have the PhD, but it still chose him to lead the district, which has like 30,000 students.
The board operates in good faith in partnership with the search firm that we used. And so a search firm is hired, very typical in a process. The board contracts with a search firm, and the search firm is given a set of parameters for what we're looking for in a superintendent. We go through the interview process, and then they in turn work with a third party to do all of the vetting. There was nothing in the information that was given to us to allude to any question about his citizenship.
So she is deferring blame on the search firm, which may in part be true. You know, I don't know. Look, they pay. It's just, this is such a racket. I need to get into this racket. I really do. Be a consultant and, you know, just tell school districts what to do. I should have got into the DEI game a long time ago because it is just such a grift. And there are people making a lot of money. So they spend tens of thousands of dollars on search firms that are supposed to get you good candidates and maybe vet those candidates. And in this particular case, he's an illegal that was deported, that shouldn't be here, that ran from ICE, had a gun, $3,000. Oh, and he didn't get the PhD that he claimed to have. Oh, and yeah, here's something else. We knew that when we hired him. How in the world can that happen? She says, well, he lied.
We can tell you that on his I-9, he stated he was a citizen and he provided two forms of verification, a driver's license and a social security card. As is typical in other organizations, this is what employers ask of their employees. And as an employer, we trust employees to fill out the required forms truthfully and provide valid documentation.
So, you know, the reporting says, look, the resume claims, they may not be legally disqualifying, but they should have raised concerns about his integrity, his, you know, I don't know. It's a baffling. And then the other thing that's weird about this is the guy was extremely well-liked. He seemed to have an outgoing personality, and I'm not even saying he was bad at doing his job. I really don't know. I don't have that perspective at all. But he ran in the Olympics. This is interesting. He ran in the Olympics for Guyana. He had 2 decades of experience working as an educator across the country. He's used his doctoral title all that time, even though he didn't have it. So, and I cannot even remember, you know, I don't know if anyone has answered the question of how he got on the radar of ICE. I'm not sure if that has come out, but the whole story. Oh, look at this. There's a St. Louis connection. After he got his Des Moines job, but before his term began, Roberts was at the center of a costly personnel settlement involving his treatment of a key subordinate and a longtime colleague. It was intended to be kept secret. And this is another scam with school districts out there. All these guys that get fired and ladies in school districts, they all have something like this. A lot of them do. And then they get hired at the next school district. It's unbelievable. So it says that the former director of HR for the Mill Creek Township School District, Melody Ellington, claimed that she faced unspecified unlawful treatment after she was hired and worked for Roberts from July 1st, 2021 to September 30th, 2022. The two previously worked together in St. Louis from 2015 to 2018, where Ellington was budget director and Roberts was a network superintendent. So we have a St. Louis connection. I'll use this as audio cut of the day without the sounder. This is Joni Ernst from Iowa.
He's an illegal immigrant holding such a position as this, but that he's a gun-toting illegal alien as well around children. So, yes, I think it speaks for itself. Iowans are not going to approve of this. They will not approve of Jackie Norris as president of this school board. It's unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, she's going to have to resign probably, but we'll see what happens. But I love the St. Louis connection. I had no idea.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.